This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, we are on the story of Yusuf عليه السلام, which Allah سبحانه وتعالى called أحسن القصص, the best of stories, the best of Qissas, which is true story. This is not a made-up story. So let us try to see what lessons we can learn from this, inshallah. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purpose of telling us about the lives and incidents of lives, it's not a biography, but incidents of lives of His Anbiya alayhimu salam, is to teach us lessons to apply in our own lives. In the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, this is perhaps the only Nabi about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke in such detail and told us his whole story from the time he was a little boy to the time he grew up, all the trials and tribulations that he had to undergo, and how he conducted himself, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him, and so on. And all of this is for us to learn lessons from. The beauty of the Quran al-Kareem is that even though the revelation was of the Quran was done 1446 or something years ago, everything in it is relevant to today's times, to today's conditions. And inshallah, this is our aqidah, that this will continue to be relevant as long as human beings exist on the face of the earth. The Quran is the last book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It came to His last Nabi, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa was the Imamul Anbiya, the Khatimul Mursaleen, the Khatimul Nabiyeen, the last and final of them after whom there is no messenger, and therefore His message is the last and final after which there is no direct message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And therefore it is very important for us to pay attention to it, to try to understand it, and extremely important to extract from it the lessons that it is replete with, that it is filled with, and then to apply them in our lives. The purpose of the Quran and the lessons from the Quran is not simply for us to read them and to admire them and to philosophize about them and to write books about them, but to apply in our lives. That's the only purpose, to understand, to read, to understand, and to apply in our lives. In the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, now we continue with the class. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِيْنَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ أُصْبَحْ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah said, when they said, and Allah is telling the story, Allah said, when they said, truly, Yusuf and his brother Benjamin are loved more by our father than we are. But we are strong, we are an usbah, we are a strong group. And really our father is misguided. Dalalim mubin. He is plainly misguided, plainly in error. Now, as I mentioned to you last time, it may be natural, it is natural that in many families, the youngest child gets the maximum affection, at least demonstrative affection, because a little kid, and you know, the little kids are, they, this is a human nature. You feel loving and you feel, especially if it's a child who's, you know, beautiful and smiling all the time and good temperament and so on. I'm not talking about children who are whiners, but children who are good tempered, you feel attracted towards them. You see, you love them, you like to do things for them, you know, give them sweets or something. So same thing with parents. Parents tend to shower a lot of love and affection on their youngest ones. Now this is, unfortunately, it's not a good thing, because it inculcates, it instigates jealousies. Unfortunately, those jealousies are not correct. I mean, I'm not saying here that people who are being jealous are doing something good. They are not. But these jealousies happen. So these people, now the other group, they said, we are elders, we are powerful, we are men, we are strong as a group, we can protect our father and our families and so on, but he loves this kid. So he's misguided. Now, this is obviously very wrong to say that, especially when their father is a Nabi, and they know this, they know he's a Nabi, and they're saying that he is misguided. Now, this is so horrible. They made a plan to assassinate Yusuf alayhi salam. Shaitan, and this is what Shaitan does all the time, he makes something which is small seem to be very big. This is like having a speck of dust in your eye. You know, it's a speck. But if it's in your eye, then you cannot see anything else. No matter what else is there outside, no matter how big, no matter how beautiful, your whole focus and attention is that speck in the eye. Now, the speck in the eye, you are focusing attention on it and you're trying to get it out from your eye, clean the eye. And this is obviously what we should do. But what Shaitan does is, he makes that speck look very attractive. So Shaitan made them see the little issue of father loves this one more than he loves me, which is really a small issue, and it's very immature to think like that. But Shaitan made that into a very big issue, and the big issue, which is the killing of their own brother, Shaitan made them look as if it was something very small, right? So they planned to kill Yusuf alayhi salam. Now this is a terrible, terrible thing. If you think about that people give in to this, and if you think that this is only this only happened in those days, just go and see and ask and look around and see how many attorneys are getting enriched because you have brothers trying to assassinate their brothers. And in this case, I don't mean physically, as in kill them, but trying to take away their property, trying to do something. Take the bigger share in the property and things like that, where it is like assassinating. I mean, you know, assassinating of character. They're saying bad things about them and so on and so forth. So then Shaitan also gave them this, thing to say, well, you know, do it and then make tawbah. Allah will forgive. Now, this is an even bigger crime, because now you are treating, na'udhu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as something that you can manipulate to your own advantage, right? It's not something for us to feel the awe and majesty of, but it's something that we can just treat it just like that, you know, just manipulate it, get Allah to do whatever we want Him to do. Na'udhu billah. So they said, "Uqtulu Yusufa abitrahuhu ardain yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum wa takunu min ba'di qawman salihin." After that we become pious. Qala qailum minhum la taqtulu Yusufa wa alquhu fi ghayabatil jubb yaltaqithu ba'du sayyarati in kuntum fa'ilin. They said, kill Yusuf or cast him out, banish him to some other land, so that the favor of your father may be given to you alone. And after that, you will become righteous people by, intending to repent before committing the sin. So this is what Shaitan is playing games with them. So however, there was one of them who was maybe on the fence, because, I mean, obviously he was still part of the same thing, so he wasn't a great guy, but he was at least not as worse, as bad as the worst of them. So he said, do not kill him. So one among them said, do not kill Yusuf, but if you must do something, throw him down to the bottom of a well and he will be picked up by some caravan of travelers. Now obviously his kindness is hardly kindness. He's saying, throw him down into a well. Now what happens if you throw somebody down into a well? Yeah, if there's water in the well, the person will drown. If there's no water in the well, they'll probably break their legs and their neck or something. So it's not that this person was a great guy. He just doesn't want to, within quotes, get the literally the blood of Yusuf on his hands by actually killing him. Now this is very, very important to for us to stop here and to think about this and say how and reflect on how Shaitan deceives. The deception of Shaitan here is in two ways. One is where Shaitan is first of all telling them to do something which, of course, they know it is haram. I mean, nobody, I don't think there is anybody in the world who thinks that killing his brother is a good thing to do. So it is, they know it is wrong, they know it is haram, they know it is prohibited, they know it is a major crime, major sin. They know that if they get caught for it, then the punishment in Islam is death, right? But they still contemplate it. And not only do they contemplate it, but Shaitan is telling them, this is fine, there's no problem, just do it, and you know, just make intention. We are going to do this and we'll make tawbah. So make the intention before and then everything is fine, which is, na'udhu billah, it's like trying to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there are people among the people, there are those who say, we believe in Allah and we believe in the day of judgment, but they are not Muslims, they are not mu'mineen. They try to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they try to fool the believers. Now, these, I'm not applying that ayat here. These people were Muslims, but they were people of this, the same kind of mentality where you think you can fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. You think that it is okay, I can get away with this, right? And then you're trying to play games and you say, oh, no, but you see, I will make tawbah and I will do this and I will repent, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is compelled to accept your tawbah. Even though you may have made some intention, the very fact that you're making an intention to make tawbah means that you know that what you are going to do is wrong. Otherwise, what is the intention of making tawbah? I mean, if I don't make the intention of making tawbah when I'm praying, when I'm doing my salah or something, or I'm giving charity, because I know this is a good thing to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered me, I'm fulfilling his hukum, his command. So, inshallah, at the end of that, I will still make istighfar, because the way in which I do it is not in keeping, it's not sufficient for the grace and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, it's not something that I consider to be, I take it so lightly that, yeah, it's okay, I'll do this, I'll make tawbah. So you are really treating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with disrespect and with disdain, and you think you can manipulate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very, very, very major, major sin that these people were contemplating to commit. And the reason I'm saying this is that today in this world where we deal with interest, where we deal with alcohol, where we deal with doing all kinds of haram, we also have, may Allah protect us, the same kind of attitude, even though we may not say it in so many words, but the same kind of attitude where we feel, yeah, it's okay, just do this, make tawbah, khalas, there's no problem. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Yeah? This is very, very evil. This is very, very bad. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have mercy on us, then we will be in serious trouble. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the reply? What is the answer we can give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is what you were intending to do, knowing that it angers me, and you were intending to commit this crime just because you wanted to do it, and then you treat my forgiveness with disdain. So today there's no forgiveness, right? You will pay a price for this. What is the answer to that if that happens? May Allah protect us. So they went to the father and they said, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّ عَلَى يُوسُفْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاسِحُونَ أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ قَالَ Then the father said, قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُونِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَخَافُوا أَن يَأْكُلُوا الذِّئْبُ وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ قَالُوا لَئِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّا إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ So they said, O our father, why do you not trust us with Yusuf when we are indeed his well-wishers? Send him with us tomorrow to enjoy himself and play, and verily we will take care of him. He, Yaqub alayhi salam, he said, truly it saddens me that you should take him away. I fear lest a wolf should catch him, should devour him, should eat him up while you are careless of him. They said, if a wolf devours him while we are usba, we are a strong group to guard him, then surely we are the losers. Now imagine, they are contemplating doing exactly that, but they have no shame in putting forth this claim to say we will protect him when they have already intended to kill him. So they took Yusuf alayhi salam out with him and they threw him into a well. And then they slaughtered a small goat and they tainted his clothes with the blood of the goat. And they went to the father and told him that he had been killed by a wolf. That's exactly the same thing which the father was fearing. They used the same thing to tell him, well, you know, we are sorry this happened. So when they were throwing him into the well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Yusuf alayhi salam, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah said, so when they took him away, they agreed to throw him down to the bottom of the well, and we inspired in him, indeed, you shall one day inform them of this affair when they will not know you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now telling him what we know in this surah comes right at the end. When Yusuf alayhi salam is the Aziz, he is the governor of Egypt, and his brothers are brought before him. And then he tells them, this is what you had done to your brother Yusuf, and they don't recognize him because now he's standing there as a grandee in all his grandeur and his ceremonial robes and whatnot. Allah said, don't worry, do not fear. This is what will come to be. This is what will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, obviously, Rasulullah said, Jibreel alayhi salam came and he put his wing under Yusuf alayhi salam and lowered him very gently to the bottom of the well so that nothing happened to him. Because obviously, if you think about this, throwing a little child into a well, I mean, how cruel and how much of hatred there must have been in the hearts of people. Really, we have to look into our own hearts and clean our hearts. Right? We carry these grudges. Somebody said this, somebody said that. Oh my God, oh, I was so angry with this person because this person did not respect me. My sheikh used to say, anytime this thought comes to you, so-and-so did not respect me, ask yourself, what in me is worthy of respect? He said, who are you? He used to say, who are you? You are the one, when you were conceived, both your parents went and took a ghusl. Both your parents went and took a bath. So you are najis, you are a unclean. Your conception was the expiration of an unclean substance. That is your origin. This is who you are. आप कौन है? आप एक मनी का खतरा है. जब आप खारिज हुए तो आपके माँ बाप दोनों ने गुसल किया, तो आपकी इज्जत किस बात पर इज्जत की जाए? सो यू आर सपोज टू बी यू शुड बी रिस्पेक्टेड फॉर वॉट? फॉर बींग दिस ड्रॉप ऑफ सीमन. वी हैव टू रिमाइंड आवर सेल्व्स दिस. एंड माई एंडिंग इज गोइंग टू बी वॉट? माई एंडिंग इज गोइंग टू बी in a grave where they are going to throw mud on my face. To jiski ibtida par ghusl kiya jata hai aur jiski intaha zameen mein daba di jati hai, wo kya izzat ke qabil hai? Somebody whose beginning is that they make ghusl, they have a bath, and his ending is that they throw mud on his face, they bury him in the ground. What izzat, what prestige does that individual have? What izzat do you want people to do? So if people are respecting you, this is, as Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah said, this is because of the lihaf, this is because of the cover that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put over you. They are looking at the cover, they are praising the cover, they don't know what is under the cover. So we make dua, oh Allah, always keep the lihaf on us. You have covered us, you have covered our sins, you have covered our mistakes. Please keep it covered, please forgive us, do not reveal our reality, our haqiqat before the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how He gives succor and support to the hearts of His Anbiya alayhi salam when they are in dire danger, so that they remain steadfast towards Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. take Rasulullah's situation in Taif. Yeah, how difficult it was, how terrible it was. He was in physical danger, he was in psychological pain and suffering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him, kept him firm. So he did not lose his courage. And then he made this beautiful dua, where he said, "Oh Allah, if you are pleased with me, then I don't care what the world thinks. And if you are not pleased with me, then I will work and I will continue to struggle until you are pleased." Alhamdulillah, beautiful dua, but this dua comes because of the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the tawfiq that he gave to his Nabi, his Khalil, his Habib, his beloved, so that he could be and remain steadfast on the correct path, even through such difficulties. And the seerah of Rasulullah sallam is full of these stories. Anyway, to come back here, so these people, now they're continuing their drama. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. They were crying, they came at the time of Isha. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُوا وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. وَجَاءُوا عَلَى قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فصبر جميل والله المستعان على ما تصفون. And they came to their father in the early part of the night, weeping, and they said, "Oh, our father, we were racing with one another and we left Yusuf by our belongings, and a wolf killed him, devoured him, but you will never believe us even when we speak the truth." And they brought his shirt stained with the damin kadhib, the false blood, and he said, "Nay." Yaqub alayhi salam said, "No, but your own selves have made up a tale. So for me, patience is most fitting, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone whose help can be sought against what you assert." Now, Yaqub alayhi salam's dilemma was that he could do nothing to his own son. So he said, "Sabrun Jamil is the best option for me, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me." Now, again, you see here, the father is old, the father is helpless, these people are strong, and they are, you know, he has no authority or, I mean, he has authority, but the authority cannot be implemented. This is the problem with the authority in many places today, that the enforcement is not there. The laws are there, but the enforcement is not there. So the authority cannot be asserted. An authority which is not enforced, which is not asserted, authority which is not accompanied by strength is pointless, because there's injustice will still be done. May Allah protect us from that. So this is what was the situation with Yusuf alayhi salam. So he said, with Yaqub alayhi salam, so Yaqub alayhi salam said, "Sabrun Jamil, I will have patience, I will not complain, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahul Musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to help, and I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help." Now, very quickly thereafter, Allah alam how much time there was, but a caravan came by and a man went to the well to draw water. And Yusuf alayhi salam clung to the bucket which came out, which was lowered, and he came out of the well. The man was delighted because he knew that he could sell him for a good price as a slave in Egypt. So now this is literally like sort of falling from the frying pan into the fire kind of thing, because yes, his life is saved, but he is facing a life of slavery. The reason I'm saying this is because, of course, in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, we know the whole story, but put yourself in that place, in that position, as a normal human being, including Yusuf alayhi salam himself. He didn't know how all this would end. Of course, he had the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he knew that this would have a happy ending, but other than that, he didn't know how it would pan out. So you're seeing here situations. For example, Yusuf alayhi salam was in a beautiful situation. He was in his home, his parents loved him, and they loved him more than anybody else. So he was on the literally top of the world. And suddenly now, he is in the, first of all, he's in the control and grip of his brothers who hate him. And then those brothers are able to fulfill what they want to do with him, which is to kill him. That was their intention. They dumped him into the well. And then when what looks like rescue is actually taking him into a life which portends and which promises to be worse than what death would have been. I mean, slavery, if there is one thing that you can say that I prefer death to this, that would be slavery. I mean, it would be definitely, you know, it is better to die than to be and live as a slave. But that's where he's going. So the point I'm making here is that even though we might find in our lives that we are seeing some downturns and we are going from, you know, from point one, this point to this point to this point, on the surface of it, the materialistic view of it, the physical view of it, seems to be that we are going from bad to worse. One must not lose hope. Right? One must not lose hope, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. Wallahu al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help. If you take the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see the same thing, where if you see the entire Makkan period, it is one difficulty to another difficulty, and each difficulty is worse than the previous difficulty, one after the other, one after the other. We have all the opposition until he went to Taif, and every opposition that was happening to him, each was worse than the other. They first started with trying to persuade him in one way or the other to give up the message of Islam. Then they tried to force him. Then they tried to, you know, hurt him physically. They maligned his character. They character assassinated him. Right? They did all of that, and then when he went to Taif, he was physically harmed, he was physically attacked, he was injured, he suffered pain, he was bleeding. All of that happened. Then when he came back, and after that he was banned, his whole family, the Banu Hashim, were banned in the valley of Abu Talib. Sheba Abi Talib, and they suffered grievously, and all his family with him. And imagine that it's for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was both physical and psychological, because physical, of course, his own, hunger and so on. You might say, well, you know, he's a tough man, he wouldn't have minded that kind of physical difficulty, but to know that everyone else here is suffering because of me. They don't hate them, they hate me. And because these people are associated with me, they are also suffering because of me. And of course, they're beautiful people who supported him despite the fact that they did not even agree with him in some cases, like Abu Talib, for example. Abu Talib never accepted Islam. But he supported Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and didn't just simply support him verbally. He was there in that valley. He was suffering, and he was an old man. He was suffering hunger and all the privations of that. Khadija al-Kubra, Ummuna Khadija radiallahu anha, our mother, she completely bankrupted herself. She was the wealthiest woman in Makkah. She was a very wealthy person. She completely, because she was feeding the whole tribe. The entire tribe was being fed by her, and she was paying Allah knows what kind of money to people who were quietly, you know, selling food and so forth. So she completely, all her wealth, again, physical sense. Again, remember all this. All of this is what gave Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha her status, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent salam on her. There's this beautiful story in the seerah where Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, Khadija will come, your wife is going to come just now. Please tell her that I am saying salam to her, and tell her that her Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, he has sent me to send his salam to your wife Khadija radiallahu anha. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, they were there, Jibreel salam and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha, she came. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, Ya Khadija, Jibreel alayhi salam is here with me, and he says salam to you, and he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to give his salam to you. Imagine this, the Jibreel alayhi salam comes only to give salam to Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha. status comes with effort. And this is what she got. She made the effort. She gave the... that's why I don't like to use the word sacrifice, because this is investment. What would... Supposing somebody says to you, what are you willing to do in order for Jibreel salam to come with salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would you say? I mean, this is not happening to me or you, but I'm just saying that if this was a choice given to us, what would you say? Anyone with a grain of iman, they would say, take everything, including my life. If my Rabb Jalla Jalalu is sending salam on me, alhamdulillah, I'm willing to give everything. But remember, even for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who have sabr in the musibah, when they have difficulties, Allah said, we will test them, and when they have difficulties, if they behave with patience, without complaining, if they have sabr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send His salam on them, and Allah will send His mercy and maghfirah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Basarat for the people of sabr. الَّذِينَ هُوَ أَرْضِ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. These are the people who, when they have difficulties and masaib and musibah and trials and tribulations, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. I lost this, I lost that, I lost that. Say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We were from Allah, and to Allah is our return. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. On these people there is salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَحْمَةٌ. And there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy for them. Yeah? So Allah is promising this. Allah is saying that these people, they will have salam and salat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will have mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the thing that is being promised to these people. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. But أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah said, these are the people who are rightly guided. So you get not only the salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a certificate that you are rightly guided. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not test us with the kinds of trials that He tested His Anbiya alayhi salam. We get small ones. You got sick little bit, you lost some money somewhere, somebody passed away, what not, yeah, some bereavement. One day everybody has to die. But if you behave with patience, if you don't scream and moan and groan and complain, and, oh, why me, why no? Say, alhamdulillah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there is pain of bereavement. Yes, I'm sorry. But I don't lose track of who I am. I don't lose track of my own mortality. I don't lose track of the fact that the person who died if they died with iman, they went to a place which is far, far, far superior to where they came from, which is this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness, for His mercy. We ask Allah to enable us to learn the lessons that He intends us to learn from these beautiful stories of His Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.